The problem with that is nobody in the Old Testament was ever saved by works. Secondly, nobody in the Old Testament was ever saved and went to heaven in the Old Testament until Jesus Christ died and then was resurrected. Third, I'll show you again, the most righteous people in the Old Testament didn't keep the law. So the law is something nobody kept, and it wasn't, as we've gone through several, we've gone through Romans, we've gone through Galatians, no one kept the law. And the point of the law was to point out sin, and let me just read it to you, it's here in Psalms. But this is a psalm about God's righteousness. And if you thought that, all right, you get to the New Testament and then there's something different going on, there is in the sense that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection changes things. But there's not in the sense that now people don't have to work for their salvation. Nobody worked for their salvation in the Old Testament. And if they did, what you are saying is Jesus Christ is a way, but he's not the way. He's a better way than the Old Testament system, but he's not really the way. The reality is Jesus Christ is the only way to get to the Father. There's not another way. Nobody keeps the law, and this is shown in this psalm. But I know some of the background of the teaching and some of this stuff, and some of the guys are really respecting things like that. But when you diminish what Jesus Christ did, or when you say there's a different way before Jesus Christ just came and his death, burial, and resurrection offered a better way. Well, that diminishes, that means you can choose which way you want to go. And that's not true. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means nobody in the Old Testament worked to get to the Father. Nobody got to the Father in the Old Testament until Jesus Christ provided a way to get there. Now, that's not saying on the other hand, people are saved in the Old Testament by looking forward to Jesus Christ. Nobody even knew about Jesus Christ. Even the disciples who were with Jesus Christ didn't know Jesus Christ was going to die. No one knew about that. So no one in the Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus Christ. However, in the Old Testament, they are looking to God's righteousness. And you'll see this in this psalm here. So it's not that, you know, in the Old Testament they're looking forward, in the New Testament we're looking back. The fact is, nobody was looking forward in the Old Testament, but that doesn't mean they had some different way of doing this. I'll try to explain all this, but Psalm 40, look in verse 1 here. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. I like what we're saying, trust and obey. That's it. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now here's a verse that's quoted in Hebrews. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. This is an Old Testament, this is David talking. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the congregation, from the great congregation. All right, I'm going to stop there. Most of this describes Jesus Christ and his work, what he's doing. Hebrews, when Paul writes in Hebrews, he takes a couple of these verses from Psalms and applies them to the body of Jesus Christ and says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I'll show you that one in a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10. But he quotes this. But I want you to see in these verses, God's righteousness is the thing that is depended. That is what David is depending on. David is a good man. David is not a man that kept the law. Let me just before we pray. Do you believe David goes to heaven when he dies? Or do you, just put it this way. Do you believe David does not go to hell when he dies? He goes to paradise, or he goes, you know, he's eventually going to end up in the right place, right? How does a man like that, who under the law has been twice convicted under a death penalty, adultery, murder, how do you turn around and say that guy kept the law? He didn't. The law condemned him. So he can't keep the law. You understand? No one keeps the law in the Old Testament. That's not a way of salvation. And I know good men and all that teach that in the Old Testament that was a way of salvation. No one kept the law. Paul is very clear. And I'll show you that in Romans chapter 3. God's righteousness is all through the Old Testament. Grace is all through the Old Testament. The law points out sin. It makes sin very evident. It points Israel to Jesus Christ. But the purpose of the law is not to save sinners. It does not have that function. So just notice a couple of these things. Notice a couple of these things. Verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness. Not my righteousness. Thy righteousness. Talking about God. He hasn't hid God's righteousness within his heart. He says, I've declared thy faithfulness, thy salvation. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering, sin offering thou hast not required. Let's pray, and then I'm gonna show you something. Hopefully, teach you something. Teach you about some of this, because it was very confusing for me for many years, and then it kind of made sense about okay, well, maybe you got a salvation that's like this in the New Testament after Jesus Christ. Then what are they doing in the Old Testament? I guess they're keeping the law. The problem is, you get to the New Testament, and he says nobody kept the law, and the problem is in the Old Testament nobody's going to heaven in the Old Testament. Understand? Nobody's saved in that sense. Nobody has forgiveness in that sense where they are accepted into the holy city. Now, all right, let's pray, and I'll hopefully teach you something tonight. Hopefully we learn something. Father, I pray that we could get what we need to get out of this. It is just so refreshing to see Jesus Christ uplifted and magnified, and the work that he did glorified and put on a pedestal, Lord, and just able to rest in that. Lord, it's a blessing. I pray we could understand what we need to understand and maybe get some of this, just religious folklore kind of flushed out of our minds and get biblical about these things. I know we think we're biblical. We claim to believe the Bible. But I pray that we could actually see the words here and understand what you're saying. Lord, help us. We desperately need help. We need to be fed by you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, most of these verses are directly applied to Jesus Christ. And verses 1 through 4, like I said, I'm glad we sing that trust and obey. It talks about the blessing of trusting God. Answered prayer in verse 1 there, waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. Verse 2, you've got salvation of the Lord. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now notice all this is something the Lord does. And the Lord did for somebody. Verse 3, he's established in the Lord. It says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And then you got that, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. That's the blessing, trusting the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. All right, the first four verses, I guess you could break up and say this is the blessing of trusting in the Lord. Then you've got the work of God, verses 5 through 10. And this is where we're going to really see some of these principles at work. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. All right, I'm going to show you a parallel verse about Jesus Christ, about what he just said. He said, if I tried to enumerate all of the wonderful works you've done, there would be no way to do that. Look over here in John chapter 21. Remember, this is mainly about Jesus Christ and the work of God in Jesus Christ. John chapter 21 and verse 25. John says this, the very last verse in that book. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's what David said back here in Psalms. He said, if I tried to write down everything you've done, if I tried to lay it all out, there would be no way to contain, there would be no way to put all of this together. There's just too much. Too many wonderful works. Then you go back to Psalms 40 and look in verse 6. Because there's a principle at work in verse 6 that's very important. It is obedience over sacrifice. Psalm 40 verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Well, that's interesting, because this is an Old Testament saint under the law saying, you're not interested in sacrifice. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. I mean, I'm listening. That's what God's interested in, listening. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Really? I thought he did require it. I thought that was the whole point of the law, was that you would pay off, you know, you would bring your sacrifice, and this is what God required of man so that he would be right with God. You know what he's saying here? I'll read it to you in Hebrews. That system of law, and Paul will explain it, the system was a system God accepted, but God was not pleased with. It's a system that God said, I will accept these offerings for a period of time. I'll accept the blood of bulls and goats, but this isn't the thing that makes me happy. I'm not really interested in the blood of bulls and goats. If you ask me what I'm interested in is obedience, listening. I'm interested in, forget all the sacrifices, someone who will listen, completely devote and yield their life to a spirit of God to work through them. right? Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. Now, I don't know what David is necessarily talking about here, but clearly it's going to be applied to Jesus Christ. Here's the thought. Let's run up to Hebrews chapter 10 and show you something. Hebrews chapter 10. He said, sacrifice and offering, that's not the thing that you were looking for. You know, give you an illustration while you're turning to Hebrews 10. Saul tried to do that. Saul disobeyed God, and he tried to perform a sacrifice in order to, I guess, pay back or buy off God. You know, just, I'm going to disobey, but I'm going to go ahead and offer the sacrifice. And what he proved was the principle at work was God wasn't really interested in the sacrifice, he's interested in the obedience. So just buying God off with sacrifices, that doesn't accomplish anything. You can't do that. The law doesn't work that way. It's not its function. Look in Hebrews 10 and verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So you guys keep doing it. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Not possible. Okay? Someone says, well, in the Old Testament, they have to obey the law. Okay, even if you obey the law, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. That's interesting. He prescribed the entire law for the Jews, said, here's the order, here's the way you ought to do the sacrifices, here's the way to do it. And after prescribing the whole thing, the Lord says in Hebrews, he says, I wasn't really pleased with that. That wasn't the thing I was going for, it was the thing I accepted, but that's not what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for you to obey the law. I was looking for someone to obey me, someone to completely live out righteousness in their life. And of course, nobody does that in the Old Testament. Verse 6, in burnt offering sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That's the point. Looking for someone to do his will. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. All right, I'm going to stop there. Well, verse 10 is a good one. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, here's the thing. Trying to hopefully you can learn something from this. In the Old Testament, there's not a separate system of salvation in the Old Testament. In fact, no one in the Old Testament, like we said, goes to heaven. No one in the Old Testament keeps the law. I'm going to show you three people who are the best people that God would say, these are the most righteous people, but they don't keep the law. Here's the point. Hopefully this magnifies what Jesus Christ has done in your thinking here. God accepts this sacrificial system. It points to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, that no one in the Old Testament knows this. They're not looking forward to the cross, like we've said. Nobody's looking forward to the cross. No one even understands what's going on. It's after the cross they understand what some of this stuff, how this makes sense. And Paul is going to explain a lot of it. But no one in the Old Testament is looking forward to the cross. But the second thing is, no one in the Old Testament is going to be saved by keeping this law. They're not going to receive heaven as their home because they kept the law. The only way anyone ever got to heaven is because of Jesus Christ. And if you say it this way, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If I believe that in the Old Testament someone kept the law, what I'm saying is Jesus Christ is a way, but he's not the way. He's a better way, but he's not the only way. You understand? What I'm saying is the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way. This is why in the Old Testament no one goes to heaven until Jesus Christ resurrects, and then you have all of these saints coming up out of the ground too. Nobody got there. Jesus Christ is the only way. Let me show you a couple other thoughts on this. Because when you hear the phrase, here's one. When you hear the phrase, by grace through faith, you know what the first thing you think about is? Probably New Testament salvation. By grace through faith. Right? You know where the first time grace shows up in the Bible? Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then you read in Hebrews 11 that by faith, Noah built a boat. You know what that is? By grace, through faith. Now it's just ingrained in our minds that when you hear that, you think of Jesus Christ. But you forget, by grace, through faith is a theme all through the Old Testament. But we're kind of sloppy Bible readers or studiers or whatever, and so we forget or we don't think about grace shows up in the Old Testament. Faith is all through the Old Testament. In fact, the very next chapter in Hebrews 11, you know what Hebrews 11 talks about? Faith. You know how many New Testament people are talked about in Hebrews 11? Zero. None. Not one of them. They're all Old Testament by faith people. I'll show you something here in Romans chapter 3. Look in Romans chapter 3. It's about God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. David said back there in Psalm 40 verse 10, he talked about thy righteousness, talking about God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Now we know that what things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Here's the point of the law: that every mouth may be stopped. Not that some would be saved by it. It doesn't say that some would be saved. The point of the law, he says, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Not that anyone would become righteous before God. You understand the difference? The law is to point out guilt. Verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." All right, now how do you fit, okay, under the Old Testament, it's a mixture of law, faith, and works. You can't. No, the law doesn't save anyone. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, this ought to be good. I mean, it ought to be good news. because it magnifies what Jesus Christ did. It makes it bigger. It doesn't make Jesus Christ a better way. What I'm showing you is Jesus Christ is the only way. He's not a better way than Old Testament saints had the law, and they keep the law, and they do so much of the law. Well, how much of the law do they need to do? And what happens if you're like David and you've already been condemned to death by the law? The point is, no one kept the law, and Paul explains it perfectly. The law does not serve that function of justifying people, ever. Verse 21, and it ought to be good news. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All right, that's what you just read in Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is an Old Testament. The law and the prophets is a witness to the righteousness of God. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There's not a better explanation for the law, the Old Testament, the prophets, and everything pointing to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. All right, so the righteousness of God, it's in the Old Testament. You don't know the name of Jesus Christ yet, but it's pointing in that direction. It's pointing in that direction. So this is the work of God here. I'll show it to you another time. Look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. I'll tell you what going through the book of Hebrews, going through the book of Romans, going through Matthew, going through these books of the Bible, it is clear. I mean, there are divisions in the Bible, but sometimes we make divisions that aren't there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, that's pretty clear. You can't obey the law. The law does not serve the function of justifying people. It doesn't serve that function. There is no flesh that's justified by it. There is no one. There's no system of salvation that says you got to believe in God, and you've got to maintain a system of works. The question then is, how many works? What happens if you get too old to do the works? What happens when you can't perform the works? The point is, there is no system of works in the Bible whereby people are saved. People are saved by trusting God with the information they have about God. New Testament, Jesus Christ. Father says, here is my beloved son, hear ye him. Old Testament, by faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abel sacrificed a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You know what it never said? By the works of the law, Noah was justified. By the works of the law, Moses, by the works of the law, Samuel, by the works of the law, he says in Hebrews 11, he says, without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Impossible. There is no system of works where you please God. Hopefully this is good news, because it makes what Jesus Christ did bigger. It doesn't make what Jesus Christ did a better way. It makes what Jesus Christ did the only way. There is no other way. Look at it one more time. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. And I'm going to deal with, there's some things about personal righteousness in the Old Testament. Problem is, personal righteousness doesn't get anyone to heaven. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, someone might say, well, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it was by works of righteousness which they did in the Old Testament. I'll show you a couple of those verses. It should be clear, though. The law does not justify anyone. There is no system where the law provides justification for people to go to heaven. There's no system like that. By the law, I know sin. That's what the law does. I could even do all the sacrifices, and I could even perform all the sacrifices. And you know what God would say after sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats? He would say, the blood of bulls and goats, I wasn't pleased with that. I mean, I accepted it, but that's not what I'm looking for. Then you have Jesus Christ, who comes in a body, who yields to the will of God his entire life, and the Father is pleased with that body. And anyone who is going to heaven is going to have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. If you're going to get before the Father, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's true Old Testament, New Testament. Now, the Old Testament, they don't know that. They'll find it out later. Let me show you a couple of things about Old Testament righteousness, because I hope this is making sense to you. This is, I know, a little bit different than probably some of us were taught, but it is so clear in the Bible. The law does not provide justification, and there is no system whereby someone keeps the law and is justified. And even if they did keep the law, God already said, I'm not satisfied or pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. I'm not interested in that. I'll accept it for a while, but that's not what I'm looking for. There are, I'll give you, think about it this way. I'll give you some Old Testament instances of righteousness. So Abraham back there in Sodom, outside Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember what his prayer to God is? If you find 50 righteous in the city, save the city. And then he gets all the way down to, I think, 10 or 15 or 20. If you find 20, 15, 10 righteous in the city. All right, there is a level of personal righteousness with people, but that might save, like he said in Proverbs, he says, to preserve the state of the thing. Talking about a nation, a city, something like that. To preserve the state of the thing. But no one's righteousness will get them into the gates of heaven. I'm going to give you three people in the Old Testament. If there's anyone that's righteous, these are the people that God said are righteous. Look in Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Let's see. And you're going to notice when personal righteousness is talked about, he's dealing with the end of a nation or the end of a city or the end of a place here on earth. All right, look in Ezekiel 14 and verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing. All right, this is the earth here. We're dealing with the earth. When the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. Meaning they'll survive the pestilence. This isn't talking about going to heaven. This isn't talking about being before God the Father. This is talking about on the earth surviving a plague or a pestilence that God would send. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. All right, someone may say, okay, see, there's Old Testament righteousness, so there is Old Testament righteousness and personal righteousness. Okay, that's true. But he's not talking about by their righteousness they'll go to heaven. He's talking about by their righteousness they'll live out beyond this pestilence and this plague that God will send on the earth. Second thing is this. He mentions Job, Noah, and Daniel. All right. Noah. Let's take Noah, for instance. Well, just since he's the first one here. Noah, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, I think it's verse 8 or 9, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wait a minute, I thought Noah was righteous. So they're not mutually exclusive. It's not like I buy my way into heaven by being righteous, that we're confusing a bunch of things that aren't equal. Yeah, these men are righteous according to God. They have personal righteousness. They're upright people. But their righteousness isn't going to get them before the Father. It isn't going to get them to heaven. It may buy them some time on the earth. But you understand, until Jesus Christ makes a way to get to the Father, until that temple curtain is rent from top to bottom, there is no way to get there. There's no man that has righteousness that Jesus Christ, that is a match to Jesus Christ. Here's Noah, all right? Noah gets on the boat, he builds the boat by faith. Noah builds the boat, he survives the flood, gets off the boat. And Noah, after he gets off the boat, anybody know what happens to Noah? He gets drunk. And then bad things happen. So do we say Noah kept the law, or what do we say about Noah? He's drunk? Is this righteousness? You understand what I'm saying? These are the three men God picked out and said, if these three men were in the city, they wouldn't even save the city. They might save their own souls, but they're not going to save the city. And he says, these are the righteous men. But these righteous men don't keep the law. Here's Daniel. All right? Notice what Daniel says. Daniel chapter 9. Go over to Daniel chapter 9. What I'm doing is we're taking the best men, God said in the Old Testament, if anybody's righteous, these are the men. And I'm showing you that even man at his best state, he does not keep the law, he does not provide righteousness sufficient within himself that surpasses what Jesus Christ did or even makes a way for himself to get to heaven. Here's Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, oh Lord, wait a minute, why are you making a confession? I thought you were righteous. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. What? And have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts. We? Daniel? Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Watch verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. That is the righteousness of God, proclaimed by a man God said was, comparatively speaking, to other men in the earth, righteous in the Old Testament. But he said, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near, that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. All I'm trying to show you through what we're doing here, in Psalm 40, you have a statement about what God accepts, what he doesn't want to accept, what he's not interested. I mean, not interested. He accepts it, but that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for a man that will do his will completely. He looks through the Old Testament. He can't find a man that will do his will completely. He finds some good men, but not men that will do his will completely. So Jesus Christ shows up not as a better way than the Old Testament saints had. Jesus Christ shows up as the only way. There is no other way. There are no other men that did the will of God the way God wanted them to do it. God made a system for the Jews to have another lease on life, so to speak. But when God points out the most righteous men he can point out in the Old Testament, you take those men and you find out not even they performed the will of God the way Jesus Christ would do it. They didn't buy their way into heaven. They didn't have sufficient righteousness. The law did not provide a way for them to get to heaven through the works of the law. Then you've got Daniel, you've got Noah, you've got Job. Do you guys remember the last chapter of Job, the first few verses? You remember what Job said? It's the first few verses, I think, of 42. Job says, I have, talking about God, he says, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ears, and now my eyes have seen thee. And then he says, I repent in dust and ashes. I repent. Wait a minute, but you're the most righteous man God could find in the Old Testament. Well, he is. He's a good man. He's an upright man. That's his testimony. But he doesn't have sufficient righteousness. Put it this way. He doesn't have God's righteousness. And that's what he needs. That's what you need. That's what I need. God's righteousness. Don't need our righteousness. We need God's righteousness. So Paul comes in there And in Romans, he explains, he says, look, the law, it's clear that there's no flesh that's justified by the law. What people needed was God's righteousness given to them. And when God gives you righteousness, there's a distinction here. He doesn't make you righteous. He gives you righteousness. You understand, there's a difference. When you got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ, you didn't automatically start doing the will of God all the time. In fact, you probably find it pretty hard to do the will of God. He didn't make you righteous. He gave you His righteousness. And that's what people need. That's what you need. That's what I need. God's righteousness. So all the way in the Old Testament, back over in Psalm 40, the reason I went over this because it's quoted in the New Testament, and what it shows, what these verses and many others show, by grace through faith, the law doesn't save. Grace is at work all through the Bible. Nobody is saved by keeping the law. And if you have this idea that there's another way to do this besides Jesus Christ, maybe at least for a moment you could step outside of that and magnify Jesus Christ a little bit. And stop bringing Him down and saying, no, there's another way. They could have done it differently in the Old Testament. What makes you so anxious to diminish what Jesus Christ did? You understand, you and I need God's righteousness. There's no one in the Old Testament that had God's righteousness sufficient to get them into heaven. There's no body that's prepared that is a substitute for man. He told Abraham, he said over there, he said, Abraham, believe me, and I counted it to him for righteousness. Meaning he just imputed, he just counted it for righteousness. But there's no body. There's no Jesus Christ. There's no substitute for Abraham yet. So what do you read in Luke 16? Well, you read a fella dies. Lazarus dies. This rich man dies. And they don't go up. They go down into the earth. And they find Abraham in the earth. Not in heaven. In the earth. And then they find this rich man in hell who can see Abraham, who can see Lazarus, and they're just separated by this gulf. I mean, imagine it's like standing on the coast of San Francisco and looking at Alcatraz out there. You see the jail, but there's water in, I mean, can't get to you. And the jail's on fire, and they're screaming and hollering and can't get to them. But nobody is in heaven until Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead. The Bible says He led captivity captive. He takes the Old Testament saints with Him. And God accepts the body that He created in Jesus Christ. Now He has a body. Now you have a body that you can be put into. So you trust Jesus Christ and God says, all right, I'm going to put you by faith, your faith, I'm going to put you in this body. And now you are a part or a member of the body of Christ. Why, He has a body now. In the Old Testament, there's no body. Just go down, paradise. I hope this makes sense. There's Romans, I mean, there's so many ways to do this, but God's righteousness is absolutely necessary. And the work Jesus Christ did is not a better way than the Old Testament saints had. The work Jesus Christ did is the only way. He's not a different way. He's not another way. He's not a more improved way. He's not an easier way. He's the only way. And so anybody who is right with God's God in the Old Testament, who's right with God, They don't go to heaven. They wait until Jesus Christ has made them a way to go before the Father. So they wait. So Jesus Christ dies. He goes down. The Bible says he preaches to the spirits in prison. He preaches down there. And then he leads captivity captive. So where do they go? They go down into the earth, into a place called paradise. And they wait until a body is prepared. That's the whole thing. Nobody's keeping the law. The best of the best people aren't keeping the law. Then you got to wonder, how much law do you keep, and what happens when you break the law? David is, he should be right with God. But how can you be keeping the law when you are already condemned by the law? You understand? I mean, you understand it in the sense of this when you're witnessing to folks or talking to folks. Somebody says, well, I'm a good person. Good according to what? And even maybe you are a good person. That's great. But you don't know the way to heaven. What good thing that you've done is going to get you out of that grave they're going to put you in at the end of your life? What volunteer work that you've done is going to resurrect you out of that grave? What charitable check you wrote, how much was that check that's going to get you life out of that grave? You understand? There's only one way out of the grave. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one that has life. That's Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. I am the life. There's no other way. I mean, hopefully in your mind, hopefully this magnifies the work of Jesus Christ and helps you understand, okay, yeah, they're not looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament, looking back on the cross in the New Testament. That's not true. But it's also not true that anyone's keeping the law in the Old Testament. And it's also not true, even if they did keep the law, that anyone's justified by the law in the Old Testament. The law doesn't serve that function. It doesn't do that. God was looking for a body that would do His will. And He got that in Jesus Christ, the man that would do God's will in a body, and now provide a body that God could put other souls into, become members of His body. And the body that would resurrect other souls out of paradise and bring them up to heaven. God's righteousness, it is all through the Bible. I know there are divisions in the Bible, understand, dispensations and things like that. But this is not one. There is no system of keep the law in the Old Testament that makes you good with God. The New Testament, we have a different way where we just trust Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not just another way. He's the only way. Jesus Christ isn't a better way of doing things. He's the only way. Jesus Christ isn't an easier way than keeping the law. Jesus Christ is the only way. I mean, I hope that makes sense. I mean, we're not trying hopefully it just magnifies what Jesus Christ has done. But David, under the law in Psalm 40, describes God's righteousness. Paul over there in Hebrews chapter 10 pulls this verse out of Psalm 40 and applies it to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit through Paul does that, applies it to Jesus Christ and shows you what God was looking for. A body that would do the will of God wholly. You could say some of these good men, they did the will of God most of their life. Okay. But they're still sinners. And that sin has to be paid for somehow. You can't be righteous and condemned by the law at the same time. If the law condemns, then the sin has to be paid for. This is the law's function, to point out sin, not to justify men. It doesn't justify men, ever. So hopefully that maybe clears some things up. Maybe, I don't know, what hopefully it clears some things up. But there is a lot more continuity in the Bible than I think sometimes we give the Bible credit for or give God credit for. There's a lot more continuity in here than we realize. We can chop it up and chop it up, and this is for this and this is for this. Yeah, there are some differing audiences and things like that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot more continuity than we give this Bible credit for. I hope that's helpful for you. This is God's righteousness all through the Bible. God's righteousness. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Lord, I feel like we've covered a lot of material here, but I pray it's been helpful. I really pray that it magnifies what Jesus Christ has done, that we would see what the Lord Jesus Christ did in a bigger light, not just as a better way than other people had or an easier way or anything like that, but truly Jesus Christ is the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. Lord, I pray we would understand these things and love Jesus Christ more for it and magnify his office and magnify what he's done more for it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.